Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to begin tonight by reading a current prophecy, one that was spoken December the 19th of last year, just recently. And it's a little bit lengthy, so bear with me, but listen. Because as Paul admonished Timothy that we should war with the prophecies that went before us. And so God has a mind, and His mind is ever speaking, and His mind is through His Word, and it's built upon His Word. But He's also speaking prophetically, rhema words, those words that are current to us as individuals and to the house. This one is, "In this war, depend upon me. In this war, depend upon me. Look unto me as the captain of your faith. And I will continually lead and guide you into all truth, saith the Spirit of truth. For my truth begins from my word. But from my word proceeds a wisdom for winning, the winning of your life, and the winning of the war. For not all things of truth are thus saith the Lord, but are backed up by my word, saith the Spirit of truth. For in truth is health and healing, and the manifestation of my righteousness, the foundation of truth, is my word. But from my word proceeds all wisdom for you to win in the war, saith the Spirit of grace. So take heed and build upon my word, but do not be religious. Do not take the religious mind, but let my spirit speak to you in the most minute of things in your life, that you would win, saith the Spirit of grace. Did I not say that I will not leave you comfortless? I go away, but I give you the Holy Spirit. For if I were here on earth and walking with you through your test and trial, would I not respond to you and give you all the wisdom you need to win in this? And would you not say, this is coming from me, the word? For I say unto you, when you take heed to him, you're taking heed to me. Listen to his voice, depend upon his voice. For he desires to instruct you in all your coming and your going. When I spoke through my proverbs and I said just what you heard tonight, that those who exalt wisdom will be exalted. Who is wisdom but my spirit among you to speak to you and to guide you into all truth? And that truth is not just the revelation that you point to Scripture and say, this is truth revealed in Revelation. But that truth comes up out of all revelation to speak to you, to guide all the personal places of your life with wisdom and instruction, that you may win in the war, saith the Spirit of grace. For the war is not only here, but the war is coming. But there will be those who will evolve out of this war, and there will be those who will thrive out of this war, and there will be those who will run and not be weary in the days ahead. But there will be those, mark them, saith the Spirit of grace, mark them, let them be an example to you and follow thereafter. There will be those who will find that intimacy of the Holy Spirit more important to them than any instruction of man. They will depend upon me and listen to his voice. They will run and not be weary. Neither will they fail for fear, because their hearts are encompassed in my love, saith the Spirit of grace. For I speak to you often, for many of you ask for direction, and I am speaking, but much of my voice is allowed to go away with the alternative of your thoughts. But listen. And I hear the Lord saying, listen to the things that you hear most when your mind gets quiet, and in the early part of your morning, especially after waking. Listen to the instruction of the Lord. Listen to the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. For he does not want you to fail, saith the Spirit of grace. The first place I come to you, it's because I'm your Father. I'm the Father of all spirits. As I come to your spirit, but do you not know that in the intercession that the Holy Spirit is making for you, is profitable for you in all areas of your life? It is not just in that place in the Spirit, but He comes forth and evolves into every place in your life. For if you're troubled in your mind, then I cannot get over to you and be through you the profitable servant that I desire and the Father relationship that I desire to have with you. If you're sick in your body, it is my utmost desire to bring forth healing and restoration so that this is not a distraction to you. If you're burdened down with lack and the fear thereof, it is my utmost desire to bring forth instruction out of my spirit to show you how to prove to you as a father that your best interest is at my heart at all times, saith the Spirit of grace. Do not fear, for I am meek and lowly. Come and trust me. My meekness and lowliness of heart was this, for I can come to you at any level, for many aspire to do great spiritual things and yet are weak in the lowliest of things. I desire to minister to you at the very roots of your life. I can do all things that I've ever promised through you in a very short time. But you are on my heart, for I desire healed vessels. I desire vessels that are filled with life and are fearless. Be strengthened by my words. Be strengthened by my words. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. It's a time of instruction and a time of grace. It's a time for us to be listening closer than we ever have before. And with that, I would ask you to turn with me to Mark chapter 6, I believe. Hallelujah. Will you just worship with me for a moment? Father, we just thank you for, again, the reading, those things that you're saying to us. And we thank you, Lord. We count these things most precious. You instructed us not to despise prophesying. And Lord, that is for us at any time to think less of those things that you would say if we judge those things being pure. So now we receive these and the others. We ask you, Lord, to bless during this time of refreshing in your word. We thank you that the prayer cloths that are being sent out in the next few days will bring forth a great recompense for all of those who are exercised thereby. Lord, I thank you for all the healings that are going to take place, the manifestations of your glory. They're already in effect. These things are already taking place. Let this just be part of the sealing of the deal, just the completion of everything that needs to take place. Father, we give you praise for the reports that we're going to hear of the manifestations taking place. Thank you, Abba. Thank you, Abba. We give you praise and glory. Now, Lord, help us to trek you through Scripture and follow you through the power of your word. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, last week we just started kind of talking about doing the works of Christ and reading a lot of Scripture. And I think it's vitally important that we exercise these things at least by listening to them, reading them, and visualizing ourselves doing these things. A lot of times you as an individual sitting in the pew, you may not feel like you get your chance so often to lay hands on the sick or to do the things of power. But you're all called to do that. You're all called to do that, and we know that from Scripture. Mark chapter 16 is He sent all of us out. So I don't have any... If you go into God, that's the prerequisite. You choose Him, walk in Him. It doesn't matter what your call is, if you're called to the fivefold or you're called to one of the other calls, there is no call in and of itself that holds more power. But the power comes through fellowship. The power comes through the Holy Ghost. And so we continue to tell you to exercise these things. We encourage you to exercise these things. We continue to tell you to, or encourage you rather, to see yourself doing these things on a continual basis. And so we're following Jesus and just the way he did things. And so just watching how he did things gives us a real strong clue of how we're supposed to handle things in the 21st century. So looking at chapter 6, because we were in Mark last week and we were just kind of maneuvering in Mark and kind of actually starting back and going, we're really starting going backwards. Kind of we were in the back part of Mark and now we're going towards the front part in some of the works. But here in verse 1 it says, "And he went out from thence and came into his own country." And what he's talking about there, Mark is talking about Capernaum. That's where Jesus moved his headquarters. And his disciples followed him. "And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him," actually, excuse me, I was wrong. Capernaum is where he actually sent, or where he actually set up his headquarters. But he was raised in Nazareth, okay? That's where his hometown was. That's where everybody knew him to be. So, correction. "And when the Sabbath day," verse 2, "was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and of James and Joseph Jr.," probably is a derivative, "and Judah and Simon? And are not all his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him." In other words, we know him. So since we've been around him, this is the contempt of familiarity here. This is the fullness of it gone to seed. "But when Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and his own house. And he could there do no mighty miracles or mighty works, except that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he," this is amazing to me, "Jesus marveled because of their unbelief. And he went around about the villages teaching. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey except stave only, scrip, no bread, and no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats." Now going back to the first part of this, the example that I think that it's vitally important for us to look at here, because in the latter part of this chapter, we're going to see just the exact opposite. And I think it's a teaching for us. We're actually talking about the miracles of Christ and following them and how he did things. But nevertheless, we get a teaching from something that he could not do. And we know that he can do all things, but what limited him in a certain place was the expectation of the people. And here we find that because they thought they knew him and they had no respect for his person and they questioned his person, then the Bible says here that Jesus actually marveled at their unbelief and that he could, in that place, in Nazareth, in his own country where he grew up, he could there in that place do no mighty works. And that's amazing. And it's not saying there that it actually shut his power down. That's not what it's saying. It did not diminish his faith. It did not diminish his power. But as a result of it, it diminished as the people, because of that lack of expectancy, that lack of understanding what was available. And here's the key, really, expectancy. Do you know expectancy is the first place that you go to really beginning to receive your miracle and your outpouring? And if something good happens in a church or something good happens in a particular locale, it's because people come together in a cohesiveness and a unity and they have an expectancy to receive. And the atmosphere Not Jesus. We've got to really make that clear. Not Jesus. But here's a man that just wherever he went, he raised the dead and he healed the sick and he did incredible, incredible miracles. I mean, maimed being made whole. Different things that are just astonishing. But the Bible says that there in that place, really, all he could do was lay his hands on, and here's an example, lay in your hands. He laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. But as a result of it, there was no mighty miracles that took place in his own country. And why? It didn't shut him down. They shut it down with a lack of expectancy. Now, okay, now I'm going to stop teaching and preach for a minute, but I'm not going to preach at you. Again, I hope I preach with you. Stay in tune in every service. It's vitally, vitally important that at no point in any service, you as mothers and fathers of the faith, stay connected when you come to church or wherever you go. If you're a part of that fellowship and you're a part of what's going on at that time, stay in a place of expectation. Don't zone out. Don't shut yourself down. If you don't like a part of the service, if something's not exactly like you like it, if you don't like a particular song or you don't like, don't zone out. Stay connected. Cohesiveness and unity in the Spirit is what produces miracles. It's what produces it. If you zone out or you shut down, you yourself, you can't run the Holy Spirit off. But if there are enough of that in a particular location, then it can begin to cause that spirit to just, there's no expectation. And as a result, if there's no expectation, there's no miracles that take place. So beyond anything that you can possibly do in going in revival, our expectation is to be kept on a high level. Our involvement, our engagement in every service, is possible. Those things are absolutely vitally important. As we do those things, then as a result of them, what happens? Well, you get a clear look of what happens in the end of chapter 6. It's not even talking about Nazareth anymore. This is another place of miracles. In verse 54, this is the revival at the after he crosses the lake. Verse 54, chapter 6. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through the whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into the villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, even if it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. Hallelujah. Is that expectation or what? They ran as soon as he crosses, you know, the lake, and he gets over to this other place on the other side of the Lake of Gennesaret. That he gets over there, and they heard of him, they saw him, they knew who he was, and they just ran through the cities, and they created an atmosphere of expectancy. They created an atmosphere of he's here in the house. And really the simplicity of miracles is this. It is expectancy. It is believing that you don't have to produce it, but he has the ability that if you just reach out to him, he wants to do it. He absolutely wants to do it more than anything else. So the greatest thing that we're looking for in all of this outpouring is to be conformed into his image. And the greatest thing about his image is that we walk in a place where the love of God is shown through us continually. Because just like him, if his love is shown through us, then the works that he did will do also, and greater works. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, let's continue to look. Let's look in chapter 5. Hallelujah. How many of you are having a good time? Let's look in verse 21. This is a familiar portion. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. But when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. And she said, If I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she had been healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue was gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, Who touched me? And the disciples said, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? He looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, stopping right there before we go to verse 35, this is the place that we desire to go to. This is the place where love takes us to. This is the place where Paul said to Timothy, in Timothy 2, he said, Look, the end of the commandment is charity. It's love. It's love. It's love. It's love unfined, which means it has no partiality. It's of a pure heart. It's of a pure conscience. It's not debatable. It's a love that is just filled with all of the aspiration. I'm going with God. I'm going with God. And I just want all that you want, Father. In that kind of agape will make you so transparent that even when you don't intend on doing miracles, you'll be doing miracles. Hallelujah. Isn't that the place where we want to be, really? I mean, that's the place we want to be. This woman touched him and was healed, and he wasn't even touching her. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master? And further, as soon as Jesus heard the words that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. Now, I believe that was with a real strong kind of get a hold of yourself. Because Jesus would employ, obviously he had the power to transcend to unbelief, but he employed the belief of people. He would ask them often, Do you believe that I can do this? And I believe that he wanted the agreement of this father. And I believe that immediately that fear came to him when they said, Your daughter is dead. Now, let me just say this to you. The first thing that's going to happen when you're going to be expected to perform miracles by the Holy Spirit, or something comes to your household unexpected, the first thing that you're going to have to do, and this is easier said than done, but nevertheless it's true, you got to conquer fear. Because the first thing that 'll hit you is fear and panic. I'm talking about something catastrophic. I'm talking about something that looks terrible. The Bible says, Thou shalt not be afraid of sudden fear when it cometh. And if you can conquer that, it'll go away instantly. And then on the other side of that is the miracle. I remember the night that I didn't have any medical backup to say it was. But I believe with all my heart, my daughter broke her ankle just outside that door. and she snapped it, and people heard the screams from like two blocks away. Immediately, I knew in the spirit that I had one or two choices. I knew I could just go into a panic and look at it because it had turned sideways, and it was really bad, wasn't it? And we just immediately, now this is all by the grace of God, we just began immediately to speak to that thing, and we put her in the car. We did head towards the hospital, but fear was in front of us. I mean, here our daughter was in, she was excruciating pain, and we just, rather than choosing fear and rather than choosing the obvious, we began to worship, and we began to worship and worship and worship and worship God. And before we got there, something had come in that car and changed the whole situation. I'm telling you, the whole thing. And by the time they got into x-rays, they saw that there was something that looked like it could have been there, but it wasn't there. And so praise God. We know that God changed the whole thing around. But Jesus, here's the thing. When you're out there on the forefront, and I've seen this more times than not in my own personal life, and you could probably give me testimony after testimony. When you go to minister, or somebody comes to you, when there's an accident has just taken place, or whatever, and whether it's in your home, or whether it's around your workplace, or whatever, God's going to call on you more than you realize. He's going to have you in the right place at the right time for you to be part of a miracle, that His name be glorified, because He knows what's coming. But the first thing that you're going to have to do is you're going to have to control your own fear. And it's not your fear, but you're going to have to control that comes to you. Let these words ring in your ear when you're going to be called upon. I pray that you hear His word in my voice, or what, however He does that, that you've got to stop, and you cannot let that initial, there's initial brunt of fear. There's initial, it just seems like it'll always come when a miracle needs to take place, especially in those kinds of situations. And Jesus just basically told the Father, don't get in fear. Don't get in fear. Your daughter will be raised, but you cannot let this anxiety overtake you. So here's the training. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Hallelujah. And he allowed, and here's verse 37, and he allowed no man to follow him except Peter and James and John and the brother of James, or Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult, and then and them which wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took her by the hand, and this is what he said unto her, damsel, I say unto you, arise. Whenever you go to do a miracle, and our days are in front of us, we're going to glorify His name like never before. It's vitally important that you're continually listening in the process. Know that if you're called on, it's never too late. If you're called on by the Father, you can make a difference. But you've also got to be spiritually aware that there's always going to be noise around you. There's always going to be noise around you. And the noise is there to take you out of the game plan. The noise is to take you out of hearing from the Father. Here, the Lord heard His Father, heard the Holy Spirit, doesn't say this verbatim, but you know that He heard His Father say, or the Holy Spirit say, take only these three men in with you. I want only these three men, and I want you to bring in the, of course, it was the modest thing to do, the right thing to do, and they needed to see the miracle, was the father and mother. But you've always, here's the training process, while you're going to do a miracle, and even in your homes, when you're praying for certain things, always know this, that there's a noise factor that you've got to get past. There are devils and demons that are going to try to subvert the miracle. They cannot if you stay focused and you listen and you do by detail what you hear. Now, while you're in that, you may not find the, you don't have time to go to Scripture and say, I'm going to find the exact Scripture that says I'm supposed to do it this way. You may not find that exact Scripture, but you're not going out of Scripture as long as you're hearing from the Holy Spirit. And it's so important that while you're doing a miracle, usually I've went to places, I've went to houses, I've went to places of pray for people in the hospital. And people will start talking to you, family members, and they want to start sharing with you, and you've got to be loving and you've got to be kind. But most of the time, and I'm training you as adults in Christ, I'm really not even hearing what they're saying. Because I'm really trying to get a fixation on what the Father is saying. I might be nodding, and they might be saying, do you believe that Superman can fly, and that, you know, that yes, and yes, it's, do you believe in Santa Claus? Yes, it's wonderful. Now take me in there. Because once you're on a mission, you have to continue to listen. And that's what Jesus was exemplifying here. There's the example. While you're on the mission, while you're doing what He is saying, make sure. And the other thing is this. There's a right and wrong way to do it. But if you've got a lot of unbelief in the room, now if you go to a place where it doesn't bother you at all, then pray. But if you can, if you're in there and it's life and death, here's how you mothers and fathers would be. If you had a family member that loved your son or daughter, and they're in the room, and you're going to raise them up from the dead, and they're in that hospital, and the doctor says they got a 50-50 chance, you're going to remove, for the time being, in a loving way. You can get their forgiveness later. You don't have to offend them for life right now, but you're just going to tell them, look, I think you'd be more comfortable. Actually, you're removing doubt and unbelief. It's not, you know, you're going to go to a place eventually where it's not, but it's going to be vitally important for you to win at any cost. And Jesus said it out of the room for the time being. Praise God. Amen. So these are training. Praise the Lord. Now, going to the first part of chapter 5, and I think we've got time for just one more of these because we're trekking a road through Mark, and then we'll... Is this all right? Are you having a good time and just looking at the Word? Okay. Verse 1, it says, "And they came over unto the other side out of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had often been bound with fetters of chains, and chains that had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran, and isn't this amazing? He worshipped him." Isn't that amazing? He wanted deliverance. He wanted deliverance, and he also, these things, what could they do? This man is the man that was worshiping. This man was calling out for deliverance. "And he cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he had already said this, Come out of him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is your name? Or what is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much, that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine." See, this is why I go catch swine. But Jesus was the first to invent deviled ham right here. Okay. All right. "And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea." Parentheses, they were about 2,000, a lot of pigs, a lot of pork, and were choked in the sea. "And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to sea what it was that was done, and they came to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that he was possessed with devils, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him or ask him to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him or asked him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not or allowed him not, but saith, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish it in Decapolis. How great, that's 10 cities in that area, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Hallelujah. I was telling you last week about a good friend of mine that says his experience with devils in different places that he'd gone into, and we hear it from the Word of God, and we know it, and maybe you've had experiences, but we really don't realize how much we've been given, and how much has authority has been given to us. It's like the first scripture that I read tonight, how that Jesus was not really appreciated in his own city. I think that goes back to a lot of different things. I think that you and I, when we see each other walk in the door, we can't see sometimes. We see each other. We see each other in our faults, our failures. We see each other in different. We can't appreciate each other in the esteem that the Holy Spirit puts on us unless we see each other through the eyes of God. In the same way, here's what's remarkable. In the opposite way, I should say, devils, even to the least of saints, even to the least of saints. I'm talking about those, when I say least, I'm not demeaning anybody. I'm talking about anybody that's not yet schooled, anybody that's not yet got a repertoire of long nights praying, long days fasting, a lot of time spent in the saddle doing all those kinds of things or whatever. They just love God. There is given to them the power to cast out devils. And I think that more assuredly than ever before, we need to begin to run to these things and engage these things and say, there's nothing to fear. Jesus said to his disciples, one of the chapters that we read tonight is a corresponding chapter with Luke chapter 10 that we read last Friday night. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from the sky. And he said this, You will tread upon serpents and scorpions, but the promise was this, that nothing shall by any means harm us. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? I mean, it doesn't matter what their vindictiveness is because of what we've done by loosing someone. Nothing shall by any means harm us. Praise God. Now, what does that mean? That means that really, if we were so engaged and God sent us over to empty out voodoo house after voodoo house and in the revival, it doesn't matter that we've stirred up a lot of devils. Jesus said, nothing shall by any means harm us. We've got the power. And we exercise that in the joy of the Lord. So this man saw Jesus, came running to him, and he had a legion of devils in him. And we've said this so many times before. Here's the power of the gospel. Here's the power of the new nature. And here's the power of what we're seeking. That an atmosphere falls so strong over this earth and over this region. There's a lot of places praying for this. We're praying for it. Kansas City's praying for it. They're praying for their region and probably a lot of other places. We're praying. We're praying that such a power fall in the days ahead, that deliverance takes place with people, that the homosexuals, or let me say it this way, the alternative lifestyle, which is the whether gay or lesbian, however they want to term that. And I speak that in respect because I do not demean these people, but I say this, that Jesus is their way out. Jesus is their way out. They're accepted in love to come into this place. They will be loved abundantly. The only thing is they will also be taught that they need to be set free. that this sin will eventually destroy their life and eventually destroy their eternal spirit if they let it go on like that. But I believe that the same God that was able to cast out a whole legion of devils, and here's the amazing part, Legion, we call him Legion, his name's not, I don't know what this poor man's or this wonderful man's name was, but after he was set free, that was the devil's name, after this man was set free into 10 cities, the Lord said, you know what, you're going to be better off to serve me by going out and telling what, if you stick with us, I got some disciples that don't have the faith that you got right now. So you need to just go and do what you're going to do and tell people what good things that God has done for you. And as this man went out into 10 cities, different places, he went and he told the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the amazing part, and we might say, well, this is Jesus, but this is really where he wants us to come to. He was so set free that there was no residual effect. There was no leftovers. And I'm into people, however long it takes them to walk out of something, that's fine. But you know what? I believe that there's a revival coming in the last day, that when they're free, they are free. They won't need 5 more minutes of counseling. They'll just know, praise God, who they are, you know, and they'll just know that they are free and that natural affection will return to them. They'll want to be a mommy. They'll want to be a daddy if that's what they want to be. They'll want to be the right thing that God created. And you won't have to take them through a process of counseling to do that. And a lot of people have been set free with counseling, and I'm all for that. But here's the revival that we're after. We're after a revival that sets them free from the get-go. Praise God. And you're going to be a part of that. You already are a part of that. So I just encourage you to engage in miracles and just believe that when one comes your way, you know what, too? I can say this. Most of the time, I don't know if I should say it like this, stereotype it, but I'll just say it often, and I think you'll identify it. Often when you're called upon to perform a miracle, that's when you'll least feel like it. You will probably have more of your own problems that day than what you want to deal with somebody else's problem. And God will call on you right when you're feeling the worst, and right when you're going through the worst, and right when you're feeling like, oh God, please, could you have brought this on another day when I was up and I was feeling good and I was feeling spiritual and I was feeling really, really holy and whatever, or I didn't have all this mess to deal with. And it just seems like those opportunities come best when we feel the least. Hallelujah. So engage them. This is where he gets to chisel on you and make you the man or the woman that he's wanting you to be, is go ahead and gauge when you feel like, I don't have the time, I don't have the energy, I don't have the spiritual wherewithal to help this person receive their miracle. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Inconvenience is a part of this walk. And I don't like it. My flesh doesn't like it. But guess what? You might as well say it with me. Inconvenience is a part of this walk. Okay? Praise God. So, hallelujah. And really, the more and more we walk into Him, we won't count it an inconvenience. We'll just say, okay, Jesus, Your will be done. Praise God. Amen. Father, we just worship You. We love You so much. We give You all the praise and glory for what You're doing. And You're preparing us, and Lord, laying the groundwork day after day for good things. We bless in this house tonight. And we give You all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So I'm going to ask you, as you get ready to leave tonight, to consider what you would give to the Lord. We certainly appreciate it, your giving at this time. And we thank all of you for praying for the church and praying for the financial needs of the church. And we bless You and thank You so much for it. Amen. Father, bless it. And we give You all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Friday night, amen. God bless all of you. Be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.